I'm sorry, Exodus 15. This morning we'll be looking at Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. What's something? We looked last week at Jehovah Jireh, how the Lord provided Abram and Isaac sat at the base of that mountain, and he loaded the wood on his son. He took a fire in his hand, a knife in the other hand, and told them boys, so we're going to go worship. What's that? Sacrifice. What's worship? Sacrifice. What's worship? Sacrifice. What's worship? Sacrifice. That's what they went to do. It's going to soak in. God provided that, and he provided the land. And that young man said, Daddy, where's the land? Where's the lamb? And he told his son, son, God will provide himself a lamb. What instruction. What an example for us to follow. Well, this week, the Lord that heals thee. The Israel, children of Israel here, they've just been surrounded by Pharaoh and his army. It was all around, except on the other side was nothing but the Red Sea. They were trapped. A mountain, the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army. All them chariots. His finest men ready to kill him. And God performed a miracle right in front of them. He told Moses what to do. He parted that Red Sea. They walked through on dry ground. Imagine how high that water was on each side. Straight up there. Dry ground. And them shoes ain't going to wear out for the next 40 years. They walk through. They get to the other side and that whole army drowned. God closed the walls in. And I, years and years ago, many, many years ago, somebody said, well, that was only 6 inches deep. My pastor said, God drowned all Pharaoh's army in 6 inches of water. That's fine by me, too. You ain't going to undo it. You ain't going to undo it. And they witnessed this. Every one of their enemies drowned. Where's the accusers? Gone. Bodies are washing up on the sea. They're dead. Graveyard dead. Right in front of them. There's no mistaking it. And then they traveled some more. This just happened and they traveled some more. It says in Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And when they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. There's 1 or 2 million people here traveling. There's men, there's women, there's children, there's cattle. There's many, many living things traveling together. And they got thirsty. 3 days. They probably had some of those bladders, water bladders, and they run out. Let the kids drink some. We'll take a sip every now and then. We'll go find something for these cattle. And they looked. They diligently looked, and they didn't find any. They looked for it. They needed it, and they couldn't find it. It says in verse 23, then they came to Marah. You imagine them peeking that hill. And there's water flowing abundantly. Oh, I mean, they're thirsty, thirsty. You ever been around somebody that just, I mean, cried for water? They'll hurt you to get water. Instincts kick over. And they press that hill, and there's Marah. Flowing water's abundant. And if for a little bit, there's great hope in them. And they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Marah means bitterness. How did those waters get bitter? I thought about this week. Marah, they come up to it, and the waters were bitter. So bitter, you could not drink of it. So bitter, if you drank of the waters of Marah, you died. And you were on the verge of death. Someone that's been 3 days without water, they'll drink salt water. They will. And this was so bitter, they couldn't drink it. How'd they get that way? You know, there was a time on this earth that every stream, every puddle, every pond, every lake, you could go up to and you could drink right out of it. Did you know that? There was a time you could drink out of any body of water on this earth. But something changed. Something happened. Sin entered in. Bitterness entered in. That's us by nature. Bitter. Bitter. There's no life in us. We can't sustain our own life. It's death. It's bitterness. It's death. And it'll take the will of the Father It'll take the blood and doing of the Son, and it'll take the work of the Holy Spirit to make us sweet. I ain't that bitter. Well, maybe not yet. You ain't been made sweet neither. If you ain't that bitter, you ain't been made sweet. It'll take His doing to make us sweet. The Lord used this event to prove Israel, to prove their faith, to prove their trust in the Lord. If He gives us something, He's going to prove it. We did that when we repelled in the army. You'd go out, and I'm scared of heights. You'd put your brake hand on, make you L, and you put your hand on your helmet, and you'd say, I trust my equipment. And as I said, I trust my equipment, I was sinking down just a little bit every inch. Hurry up, or I ain't going to trust it no more. What He provides, He will prove to us. He provided it. He knows what it is, but He's going to prove it to us. He's going to show it to us. 3 days after, they walk through that Red Sea on dry ground. He's going to prove to them. Wasn't that enough? Wasn't that enough, walking through that Red Sea? Wouldn't that have lasted a lifetime of stories and being able to tell? We walked through the Red Sea. A army was coming. Water like you ain't never seen, separated. You trust God? 3 days later, oh, what are we going to drink? Murmuring over what to drink. What did He just do? A miracle of water, didn't He? But that's understandable. You make it 3 days without water. That's all them cattle's moaning, murmuring. All those babies crying, those toddlers begging their mommies and daddies, I'm thirsty. Those nursing mothers that need it. Tongues swelling, mouth dry and parched. Deaths on the doorstep. A severe trial that came quickly that only took 72 hours, 3 days. Everyone was dead and dying. But the Lord heals His people. He healeth them. It's continual. Salvation is not an experience. You're going to go through some things, but it's not a one-time shot. It's not a one-time event of partaking of those living waters as a child of God. And then, well, I gave my heart to Jesus. It's not a deposit in an insurance account. That's not what that is. He said, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You're going to keep coming. If you're His, you'll keep coming. He will sustain you to the end. How do I know that? He says so. You're going to be leaning on Him, casting all your care on Him until eternity comes, and then you'll do it forever. You'll be with Him, made like Him. Be one with Him. He that cometh to me. And the Lord's going to healeth His children. Are we, in a sense, being argumentative is all that is? Are we forever healed? Are we forever holy? Of course we are. Of course, for those in Christ, God did the work. You're perfect. You're holy forever. That new creation in you is incorruptible seed. But while we're on this earth, we need healed, and then we need healed, and we need to prove to us. We need His faithfulness proved to us and proved to us over and over again until we're took out of here. But this in us is our nature born of Adam. We see the mighty hand of God work in providence, in salvation, in saving His people. You watch the Red Sea parted. 72 hours later, we're the ones that's bitter. Complain about the water. We murmur. It says in verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? It says they murmured against Moses, and they did. That's who heard it. That's who they was against. That's who they got mad at. But it was really to Moses. It was against Moses, but really they murmured to Moses. He didn't make the waters bitter. He didn't pull out a map and decide where they was going to go next. He was led by the Lord to this spot. They were really murmuring against the Lord. They took it out on Moses, but they were murmuring against the Lord. And I need to remember this. I need to be reminded of this minute by minute. I need my murmuring silenced. All murmuring is against God. That's a hard, jagged pill for me to swallow, but I need to learn it. If I murmur, it's against God. Well, it's too cloudy this morning. You're cursing God. I'm cursing God. It didn't rain enough. These vegetables ain't popping up. They're not germinating quick enough. That's against God, isn't it? That's not against the seed company. It's against God. All murmuring is against God. But they murmured against Moses. What shall we drink? And instead of murmuring back, here's something else I need to learn. Instead of arguing with them, instead of trying to reason with them, Moses, instead of trying to heal their poor thoughts And instead of trying to heal their poor ways, he did what a good pastor ought to do. He prayed. He took his burden to the Lord. He cried out to God. James tells us, he said, confess your faults one to another. That doesn't mean sit down and you get you a booth and you tell you have a sinning competition, everything bad you ever did. But you just say, I'm a sinner. That's what I am. God showed me, and I'll confess that. I'm a worm. I'm a maggot. And I need grace. And I need mercy. And pray for one another that ye may be healed. Pray to God that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what James told us. Moses prayed. He was a righteous man. And the Lord answers him. God's going to perform another miracle so the children of Israel won't die of thirst. His people will never die of thirst. The trial he sends is not for death. It's not for ill. But it's for good. It's for life. That's why he sends a trial. And the end of each trial, the end of every trial that a believer goes through, you and I, we're going to be a little bit sweeter. We're going to be a little bit sweeter. We're going to be a little bit more humble. We're going to be a little bit more long-suffering. We're going to be a little bit more patient through it. Every time. Little by little. It takes a lifetime, don't it? But the power of God is going to be on display here by making this water drinkable. He could have just spoken, couldn't he? Moses could have cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, what are they going to drink? They're going to kill me again. They're taking up stones. They're going to murder me. Do something, Lord. He could have said, the waters are now good. Go drink them. He could have just spoke it, couldn't he? But he uses means. Our God's a God of means. He uses means. It says in verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. The Lord uses means in this body and in our spirit. We're healed spiritually by the person and the work of Christ our Lord. We're healed spiritually by Him being made a curse for us. He's the branch, isn't He? What was about this tree? They walked right past it in all their brilliance and all their understanding and their learnedness. They walked right past this tree. Looked just like any other tree. It was without form and it wasn't pleasant to the eye. Just looked like an old tree, like every other old tree. This was Christ, wasn't it? That's what the Lord showed him. And he's going to be cast into those waters of wrath. Or you ain't going to be able to drink. You ain't going to live. He's not the one cast into the bitter waters, absorbing our sin and dealing with those waters for us. We ain't going to live. We're going to die. He's the branch throughout all the Old Testament. He's that tree. And Paul wrote to us in Galatians 3 and said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And we don't worship the tree. Many people do. They whittle it out and they hang it around their neck and they put it on their cars and they make jokes about it and it's blaspheming against God. That's what that is. We don't worship a cross. We worship the one who hung on the cross. We worship the one that accomplished our salvation on that cross. The one that took out all the bitterness. Took out all God's wrath against sin. Took out all the condemnation I rightfully earned. All the bitterness that was me. He took it. And He gave us living water. And it's not just drinkable. Did you notice that? That water wasn't made potable. It was, you boil it a little bit and you can drink it. Well, you ever had iodine tablets? I thought about this week too. Things that purify water. I've had to purify water before. It's drinkable. Oh, it is hard to drink. It don't taste good at all. If it's been treated. It don't taste good. It says this water was made sweet. Sweet. It was sweet. It's not just drinkable. It's sweet. Salvation of the Lord, when someone truly understands what that is, Christ and Him crucified. What sweet. You don't want to add nothing to it. You don't want to take anything from it. It's perfect. It's perfection. God is just and the justifier. And we say, amen, that's delicious. It's sweet. Like that manna from heaven. It tastes like honey. Like graham crackers and honey. Delicious. It's through Christ and Him crucified, all things were made sweet to those He died for. those he represented, for those he absorbed all their bitterness and absorbed all their sin, put away as far as the east is from the west. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Was that tree bitter? That's wood. Didn't know any bitterness of water. But when it was cast in that water, it absorbed that bitterness, didn't it? He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That way those pure, true, and living waters can flow from our bellies in abundance. Can you and I drink of the waters of Marah and live? Can a man or a woman soak up their own sin? Can they put away their own bitterness? Can you do something about that? Is that up to you? Is that your choice? Is that your ability and your doing? You make a decision for God? Zebedee's wife, she petitioned our Lord for her sons. She come to him and she said, he said, "What will you have me do, woman?" And she said unto him, "Grant that my two sons may sit, one on the right hand and one on the left hand in thy kingdom. Let my boys serve with you." And Jesus answered and said, "You know not what ye ask." You don't even know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm able to drink of? That's him drinking this cup. From Exodus 15, this hour is coming. That's what all this Old Testament pointed to. The hour is coming. He says, "Are you able to drink of the cup I shall drink of? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? You going to be able to be submerged, immersed in those waters?" You think that tree floated? It was immersed. It went down in the water. And they say unto him, "We're able." Did he just curse them and have fire extinguish them for eternity right then? No, they were his. That woman was his child. Her boys was his. His family, isn't it? And he saith unto them, "Ye shall indeed drink of my cup. And you'll be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. For you, this is sweet. For you, this is eternal. It's a work that's been done before time ever was." That's right. You can drink of it because of what I did. And God ain't going to let his children forget that. We ain't going to get up on some plane, like a boat getting up on step, and we're going to forget about what happened. Oh, no. The person and the work of our Lord is going to be on the forefront of our minds. He's that living water because of who he is and what he accomplished at Calvary. And because of that, we can freely drink. We can go down to Marah, and it ain't sweet. It tastes delicious. Or it ain't bitter. It's delicious. It's sweet. He said, "Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again," that woman at the well. "But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him." He gave his life on that tree. Willingly laid down his life. "Shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." We won't forget that in 3 days. When this life's over and we go into eternity, we ain't going to be concerned about what precious metal the streets are made out of. What kind of mansions and what kind of crowns jewels going to be in my crown. It's going to be ever reminding of the person and work of him. What he accomplished for us. Praising him. Giving him all the glory eternally. Lord, you did it. I'm the bitter one. You did that. Thank you, Lord. When death was obvious to these people, when thirst was overwhelming them, when they just couldn't bear the trial anymore, there was a crying out. They cried out to God. And the Lord showed Moses a tree. That's one representative, didn't it? Those people didn't cry to God. They cursed Moses. And as their representative, as a picture of our great high priest that intercedes for us, Moses cried out on behalf of the people. That wasn't the same words, was it? That was groanings that can't be uttered. They couldn't say it. He said it for them. This picture across our representative, across our intercessor. And the Lord showed Moses a tree and cast in the waters of wrath, and those waters were made sweet. Every time Moses gets henpecked real good here throughout the scriptures, he prays to the Lord, and you know what happens? He smites the rock, water comes out. He says, "Here's the man." He throws the wood in the water. Every time he preaches Christ and him crucified. That's the answer. That's the answer. How am I going to improve my marriage in the modern society? Christ and him crucified. That's how your marriage is going to be. How am I going to raise children in such a volatile world? Christ and him crucified is how you're going to learn. That's the answer. Every time, that's what. Where's the lamb? That's what every time. I'm going to get up. how many hundreds of times I've stood here. That's it. That's a solution. That's what heals. That's the Lord that heals us. That healeth us. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What are you talking about? This wood going into water and the bitterness and the sin. He soaks it up. What are you talking about? Ain't there something we can evolve from this? Shouldn't we have some programs and get the kids in here and keep them busy on a Friday night so they ain't running around town? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, that's the power of God. What did it take to take all that bitterness out of that water so they could drink? The power of God, that's what it was. The wisdom of God. The foreknowledge of God. Those waters were marvelous. I was reading through Ruth. So the reference to that same word. And Bethlehem come down after her and Naomi and went back up to Bethlehem. And Naomi said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Oh, that was, you talk about the living word. That was new to me this week. God's dealt bitterly with me. God's dealt my sin in me. No. He may chasten you. He ain't punishing you, I can tell you that. That wood is what soaked up the marrow. That's what soaked up the bitterness. But that's how she felt. She said, "I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why call ye me Naomi? Since the Lord testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." Look at all his bad things. He took my husband, took my children, brought me back here to Bethlehem. Just poor and starving to death. What's Bethlehem? The house of bread. When did she show up? When did the Lord's providence bring her there, saying, "Oh, the Lord's dealing with my sin. He's punishing me"? In the beginning of the barley harvest. Bread's about to start coming in, and it ain't going to quit for a long time. And she said, "Call me Mara, call me Bid." That's us, isn't it? Rarely. It's a remnant in this world. People say, "Call me bitter. I ain't nothing but sin. I'm a maggot. And God ought to deal with me. And if He sends me to hell, He's just in doing so." He's right. When we see our sin, when we see what we are, when we see that we're sick, how was Naomi made whole again? Where'd all her sorrow and poverty go away from? When Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, came. He married Ruth, took care of Ruth. And boy, Naomi was sure took care of, wasn't she? He redeemed Naomi too. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. People could argue too. Well, they weren't sick. They were thirsty. And that's a symptom of dehydration. It's talking about the symptoms, not the illness. Wrong. Person that argues semantics and they argue technicalities is not dying of thirst. Somebody gets in the nuts and the bolts and the technicalities of things, they're not dying of thirst. They're not crying out, "Water!" They're not crying out, "Water." They don't need a physician. If bitterness, if sin isn't put away, we're going to die. That bitterness isn't taken away. And the scribes and Pharisees, they ask our Lord this. They said, "Why do you drink with publicans and sinners? Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? With nasty tax collectors and these lowlifes. Why you eat with them?" And he said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." If you can do it on your own, if you've got some remedies, people put the pride of man, "I fought cancer." You got boxing gloves? Who do you think healed you? Who gave that man the wisdom to do those things? God did, didn't he? "Well, I don't need it. I can do it myself." They that are whole need not a physician. You can do it. "But they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous." That's self-righteous. "But came to call sinners to repentance." The Lord uses means in this body, physically in this world. And we, old Brother Don used to say, faith and logic, or faith and common sense go hand in hand. It don't take much. The Lord gave us doctors. He uses Himself as a great physician. People say, "I ain't going to a doctor." You're a fool. Paul had a doctor travel with him. It was Luke. He was a physician. "I think I broke my pinky finger. Come here, I'll splint it up for you. Put this salve on it. You'll be all right." In our bodies, we're given these things. The Lord uses means. But in our spirit, He uses means. the work of Christ on the cross, the person and work of Him. Him being made a curse for us. That's the means He chose to use. Isn't that grace? Isn't that mercy? An undeserving, stiff-necked, murmuring people. Just kicking rocks. Why are you doing this? You bring us out here to kill us again? Think you got tired of hearing that? What's our Lord do? Take that tree one more time, throw it in water. I'll show you again how you saved. Show you what I did to my son. Sin wasn't swept underneath the rug, was it? And he turned away from it. He gave his son for our sin. It says in verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when it was cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. They were gulping down pure water. They were having a great relief from this thirst, and another cause to cry out came. Right when relief came, a cause to cry out to the Lord came. There was sweetness, and it goes back to bitter. And then there's sweetness and there's bitter. Isn't that the way it is? You're sick and you're healthy. You're sick and then you're healthy. There's ups and there's downs. There's mountaintops and valleys throughout our lives. And it ain't all roses. It ain't all health and wellness and riches and all these things. There's ups and downs, isn't there? That's wise. Wise. Verse 26 says, and thou, and said, the Lord's still speaking, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I consider diligently. There's a whole lot to consider in this verse, but I consider diligently here. We're told to be diligent in whatever we do, aren't we? Lord, tell us to do that. He said to do it halfway. He said, you go to work, you work as unto the Lord. You be diligent. He told us in Deuteronomy 4, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen. Be reminded of these things. They forgot what their eyes have just seen, didn't they? What their feet just walked through. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Don't forget these things. Be diligent. Keep your soul and tell your family about it. Tell your sons. It says in Deuteronomy 6, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When's a good time to tell your children that God provides? When's a good time to tell your children and your loved ones that the Lord's that heals you? Who got you sick? I got the sniffles right now. It was a big dust storm. I can blame it on. I can blame it on somebody else getting me sick. Who got me sick? Sin got me sick. The Lord allowed it to happen. Why? So I'd call out to Him. I didn't think about that until yesterday. I'm preaching on the Lord to heal us. I'm going to get sick this week. That's what's going to happen. That's okay. And I'm going to have a runny nose. But I diligently tell our children that. Abraham told Isaac that. He said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And the Lord healed him from death, didn't He? The Lord's going to kill you. He's going to raise you up. He heals too. The Lord's people speak in those terms because they know the Lord. They know Him. There's a good article in there by Henry about Paul and him being a Jehovah Witness. And I come to him and said, do you know who Jehovah Jireh is? Do you know who Jehovah Rapha is? And they said, no. He said, well, I'm Jehovah's Witness. You ain't. Get out of here. Because he knows Him. I heard one of the Lord's people this week speak to someone. And I said, well, if the Lord will, we'll do this. If they want. Get a little look. What? Natural, isn't it? A new man, that's how they speak. But do I do that diligently? I'm commanded to teach my children diligently. Do I tell my children diligently about the Lord that heals and the Lord that provides? Am I consistent when I lie down and when I raise up and when I walk the way and when I'm in my own house? Do I consistently do that? Do you? We're told multiple times throughout the Scriptures, hearken diligently. Do I listen diligently? Do I listen to the man that God gave me to preach His Word to me diligently? Am I diligent about it? Or am I sloppy? Am I haphazard? Am I going all over town, smorgasbording? Do I diligently consider, we're told? Do I take these things home and I mean set on them? Not kick on a football game. Do I really consider? Do you diligently consider? Do I? Do I diligently seek His face? Do I diligently learn? He tells us. He says, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, how diligent am I? Verse 26, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, how good am I at that? And will give ear to His commandments, I'll pay attention to them, and will keep all His statutes. Can you list all His statutes? How am I doing? I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. All those plagues of death He brought upon them. He said, I won't do that if you'll do this. That's an if-then statement, isn't it? That's a covenant of works. How do I respond to that? I can't keep it. I'm lame. I'm deaf. I'm halt. I'm blind. I'm sick. Call me Mara. The Lord's dealt bitterly with me. He brought me all the way out here and He gave me something I can't do. Look at the end of verse 26. Colon. Here's how you're going to handle everything you just said. Colon. He's going to list it. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. What just happened when we were going to die because the waters were bitter and I couldn't handle it? God provided. He healed the waters. Healed me through them waters, didn't He? Healed my thirst. Healed all my need. What happens when He said, you're going to diligently seek me. You're going to keep all my statutes. You will do this thing. You and your house are going to serve me. Lord, I'm sick. You're going to have to provide. You're going to have to heal me. And He says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. You must provide all, Lord. You must heal all. You must be my shepherd. You must lead me. You must be my peace. I have no peace in myself. There's no peace in this world. I can't claim my own self. You're going to have to be my banner. Don't have people rally around me. Have them rally around you. And you're going to have to be my righteousness. That's the names that we're going through, isn't it? You have to do these things, Lord. It says in verse 27, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Well, what a nice place to be. Every tribe, you get your own well. Ain't going to run out. And they encamped there by the waters. This is the beginning of a true beginning of life as believers, when we're brought home to glory. There's water abundant, shade abundant. That's where He brings us. There's complete and total healing. That's what that means. Do you know that? For somebody to pray for complete and total healing, that means this body dies, because it's going to. Physically, we want our ailments to be gone, don't we? Oh, my elbow hurts, and I didn't have heartburn and all these other things. This body's going to die. It must die. It must go away. This body of death must go on the ground. But when I'm completely healed, when I'm totally healed, the Lord that healeth me, it'll be spiritual. And I'll be conformed to the image of His Son. Because I'll see Him as He is. Holy, perfect, without sin, without the ability to sin. Don't even know what sin is. I'm just morally innocent. Holy, I'll be made like Him. That's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. And it says, thee. Who's thee? Whosoever. You need healing? Are you aching in the soul? If you got an ache in your body, call out to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm hurting. Thank you for sending this. Let me see Christ in this physical trial you just sent me. But heal me. Heal my heart. Heal my thoughts, my mind. Give me peace. Show me you're leading me. That's what I need. I need healed. He's the Lord to heal thee. Whosoever. Call out to Him. Come to Him. Run to Him. Pray to Him. Cry to Him. Here in a few weeks, we'll look at Jehovah Rapha. This is Jehovah Rapha. And we'll look at Jehovah Rapha. That's the Lord, my shepherd. You know what that shepherd does? Here, the Lord healed them, and He took them to 12 wells of water, and has plenty of palm trees to shade them. David spoke of Jehovah Rapha. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not walk. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. They're sweet waters. He restoreth my soul, and He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's the surety of it, too. The Lord's going to provide. How do I know? That's His name. He's going to provide for his name's sake. What if the Lord's going to heal me? Is he going to heal me halfway and then I'm going to have to do something about it? No, he's going to have complete healing. There's no such thing as sickness no more. No more tears will be shed. No more pain. No more sorrow. How? Because he's for his name's sake. For the sake of his name. That's his name. How do I know if he's going to lead me? Keep me forever. That's his name. He's my shepherd. For his name's sake. I hope that's a blessing.